step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
Let's circle up, folks, because it's time for the Virginia Wrestling Roundup, a show by the Virginia Wrestling Association. The Virginia Wrestling Roundup is also brought to you by Cliff Keen Athletic, built for life. Get more information on Cliff Keen products by going to matttalkonline.com/Cliff Keen. I'm Jason Bryant, a proud Virginia native, and each month we'll talk about relevant events and topics as it relates to the landscape of VAWA and the wrestling community in the state of Virginia at large. As always, you can find out all you need to know about VAWA by going to virginiawrestling.com. Episode 7 of the Virginia Wrestling Roundup, No Rest for the Weary, as we are just still at this point hours after the completion of the 2015 USA Wrestling Cadet and Junior Nationals that took place over 8 glorious days in Fargo, North Dakota. I'm Jason Bryan here with you, joined by Executive Director of VAWA, Andrew Farah, State Chairman Bill Swink, and Dylan Wissman, a Missouri-bound, actually he's not Missouri-bound, he's now Missouri-now, Virginian who finished second at junior freestyle at 182 pounds. Before we get to Dylan, who is one of our first athletes to jump on, we've had coaches, but first of all, let's just pitch it over to Andrew. You, me, and Bill were all sitting right in the same place for the entire time. Dylan's out there training, but we got to see a lot of each other this week, and it was like old times.
Well, Fargo's awesome. Anybody who hadn't been to Fargo just doesn't get the atmosphere and the intensity, especially when you get to junior freestyle. And this time of year, I feel like I go into wrestling withdrawal because you're used to having the best kids around the state, the best coaches, and that whole week builds to an unbelievable level of intensity that is the junior freestyle tournament over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I was telling our guys on Thursday night, but as far as I'm concerned, Friday of junior freestyle in Fargo is the best day of wrestling outside of Friday at the NCAA Division I tournament. So it's great when the wrestling community gets together, and even better when we get together to watch, you know, studs like Dylan and the other three guys we had that reached the podium get after it against the best in the country.
Bill, you've been coaching and doing this for a long time. I mean, there was one thing that I know as a state we're all proud of, and that's the Spirit Award. Granted, it doesn't add any extra team points to your total at the end of the day, but at one point during the tournament, I'm turning around going, wait, those are Virginia kids, because it was Joey Prada in a consolation bout, and they're all screaming and yelling. I'm like, wait, when did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome award. Something that, you know, Andrew's been working on. He gets a lot of credit for it as far as building team unity and you know, Team Virginia concept. The coaches have been great doing that as well, you know, stressing team, not just a bunch of individuals, or you're there to coach your own kids, the whole team concept. And, you know, those guys were great. The team was awesome out there, and they deserved that award. And I was proud that we got that. So,
you know, now, Dylan, it's also interesting, as there was a story circulating around, that you kind of embraced this team atmosphere, even though you decided kind of at the 11th hour that, you know, I've never won this tournament, I'm going to give it one last shot. And you stepped up for one of the cadets and kind of played that role of team leader. Won't you? I guess, Andrew, do you want to introduce that story, or you just let Dylan let it go as it goes?
Sure. Well, I'll introduce the story. One of our kids, he's actually a junior, but he hadn't been on the national team before, and you know, he made a minor mistake, and left his bag unattended for literally a couple seconds as he turned around and talked to somebody, and his bag got snagged, and you know, some kid stole his singlets and then dropped the bag. His wallet and his credentials were still in it. They just wanted the gear to go trade. And I get a call from one of our kids 3 days later, said, "Hey, coach, none of our guys have sold or traded any singlets, and we see some kid outside, you know, trading a Virginia singlet." So I told them not to do anything, but just keep their eye on him. And I was making my way out of the dome, and I look up in front of me, and Wiseman is, you know, taking two steps at a time with his bag over his shoulder just after he came off the mat in the quarters. You know, it was awesome just to see him. You know, no one asked him to, and, you know, he just he was sticking up for one of the guys. He went and handled it, but and I helped him with it. But, you know, he didn't need my help. He was calm, cool, and collected. And, you know, it's just awesome to see a college kid like Dylan that everybody knows around the country just, you know, doing what's right just because it's the right thing to do, not because anybody asked him to. So that was really cool to see.
Yeah, Dylan, what was that like from your perspective?
I just thought it was really, like, messed up with the kid just to take his stuff, you know. We're all out there just wrestling, just out there with the same goals, and then someone just takes your gear. And I'm not sure if he was done wrestling or if he still had matches left, but regardless, he still paid for the gear. It was his gear, and just, I don't know, people like that just ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah, you inspire the ire of the voice of Sandy Stevens. Now, when it comes to your reason you came back, I had a chance to talk to your dad a little bit over the course of the week. And he was telling me, yeah, the reason was is, you know, you couldn't go back and have another shot at winning the Ironman or the Beast of the East, and Fargo was basically the last shot. What was it like training, having gone out to Missouri early to get those summer courses in, get that work in? What was the difference there that might have made the change in helping you get to the finals and place higher than you ever have it in Fargo?
You know, I didn't really plan on going to Fargo, so I was just out here training, just thinking about next season. Really wasn't even worried about Fargo at all. Was just training hard, just getting ready, preparation for next season. And then kind of last minute, it kind of just hit me, like, this is the only goal that I still had in high school that I hadn't achieved, and was still had one more chance to go out and do it. So figured, why not give it a shot. And I definitely can say that all my training out here in Missouri is the reason I did make it as far in that tournament, whether it was the wrestling, the conditioning, just the mental part of it. Just everything out here definitely improved a lot in the short amount of time I've been out here, and can't wait to see what the next couple of months have in hold for me.
Now, we've talked to Andrew and Bill and other coaches throughout the year about the preparation for Fargo and the changes that VAWA's gone through in the last couple of years. You've seen it as an athlete. How much things have gotten better from an athlete perspective in the last couple of years, moving from the dorms to the hotels, the catered meals, the training camps? Where have you benefited the most from an athlete?
You know, actually, after my, I think it was my third year being there, we stayed in the dorm, or the team stayed in the dorms, but me and Corbin Allen stayed with our dads, and the team was saying, you know, like, how they didn't like us staying, like, there, and they wanted us to be with the team at the dorms, and wanted everyone to stay together, and we were kind of just like, well, this is benefiting us the most, you know, it's helping us get better rest, we're in AC, we're not sweating at night, we were able to get good rest from not just 2 hours and waking up and sweat. So, you know, the team kind of was saying that they were going to make us stay in the dorms the next following year, and we all kind of, me and my dad and Corbin and his dad, kind of looked at each other like, well, we may not be back. And then obviously they made the change over to the hotel and the way the food was done at the tournament. I mean, you can't really go any better than how they have it now, the system. You know, we're flying, we're staying in hotels. The meals are right there in the parking lot or back at the hotel, so you don't have to walk across the parking lot and all the way back over to the cafeteria to go eat. And just everything that they've made change so far has obviously helped a lot. I mean, you can see it speaks for itself. You have more All-Americans every year, draws interest, makes more guys want to go out, just makes the whole trip a better experience.
Where have you seen the growth in the team building? I remember when I first went out there as a media guy, you know, a lot of people in the dorms, I mean, you're playing a lot of cards, and like you said, yeah, everybody's sweating and trading gear and whatnot, but it seems like this is, I mean, obviously the Spirit Award speaks for itself, but, and your actions to get your teammates' singlets back, but it's like, this year, it just seemed like everybody was, I mean, you know, these are kids you didn't maybe even know another part of the state that are like, yeah, come on that guy. Yeah, come on that. It just seemed like the whole team building over the past 2 years has really been something that the kids, you guys have really taken a hold of.
Honestly, I don't know where it comes from. It kind of just like everyone just wants everyone to do good. And as we all fall out of the tournament, the coaches kind of even say it like, we want you guys there supporting those guys that are farther in the rounds. Even if you're not wrestling, we still want you to be there, part of the team, cheering on guys and just, you know, hearing that out there in the back of your head, you may not realize it like while you're wrestling, but the little bit that you do hear kind of motivates you while you're out there on the mat wrestling.
Andrew, pitch this to you while we're still talking about the team building thing. Obviously, when you see kids come out for the first time, they're a little more comfortable the second time they come out. There's, you know, did you see a real leadership with some of the second and third year guys that have come out now with maybe some of the new guys? A lot of these guys had wrestled in there before, actually, guys and girls. We can't forget the women, of course, who placed, I believe, fourth in cadet freestyle women. So, you know, there's team building. I mean, it's not necessarily you're having team building exercises, but just the way it seems like is like the older guys are kind of leading the younger guys in that respect.
No doubt. I was looking through a bunch of pictures today and posted about 150, 160 of Ed Metzger's photos today on Facebook and our website. And in doing so, I stumbled upon some pictures from the Scholastic Duels and looking through stuff from last year. And you know, Virginia's no different than any other state. All these guys know each other and girls know each other from wrestling, you know, on the national circuit as they grow up. And you know, even a guy like Mason Manville stepped up and was a, you know, a leader in training camp and helping guys manage their weight. And you look at returning All-Americans like TJ Allen, you know, Antonio Agee, Joey Prada, you know, all those guys lead in their own way, whether it's being a vocal leader and telling the cadets, you know, or to quiet down or when to kind of you know, step it up and get serious or just by example. You know, a guy like Antonio Agee and a guy like Jeffrey Allen are more quiet leaders, but those guys are returning All-Americans who've proven themselves, you know, all over the national wrestling circuits. So, yeah, starting to see everyone come together and associate themselves as Team Virginia teammates. And you know, a lot of those guys that were on the Scholastic Duels trip were also here in Fargo and were out in Fargo last year. So, you know, little by little, we're starting to, you know, create a core group of about 15, 20 kids that, have come to, lots of camps and you know, national team trips and, you know, that just makes them want to do it more, and it makes their teammates at home want to, you know, participate when they get a little older and they get the opportunity. So exciting to see the kids genuinely want to be around each other, not just because they have to be around each other solely because they want to compete in whatever tournament or training camp we're going to.
Now, Bill, from the coaching staff situation, you got some new faces in there. You got some old faces making returns, kind of like my old roommate and Ben Summerlin making a return back there. Apparently Chris Michael did bring a not necessarily a razor, but he did bring some clippers. So his beard went from ferocious to more manageable. I mean, talk about a little bit about the coaching staff this year and the unit. I mean, Donald Motley out there for the first time since he was competing in it, you know, geez, 10, 12 years ago. So, I mean, it seemed like it was a nice blend of old and new, and everybody seemed to have the same vision there.
Yeah, you know, the coaching selection process, we have an application procedure. Deadlines early, it's in October or I mean December, and then we review those and try to get a mix. We're trying to get more people involved, whether it's, you know, one of the national dual teams, Scholastic Duels, or out to Fargo. And you know, we want to rotate people around. We're gonna have some core coaches that are gonna go pretty much every year, and then other guys, you know, might go to Fargo this year, and then we might ask them to go to the Cadet National Duels next year and things like that. To get more and more coaches around the state involved is kind of our goal. We can't get everyone that wants to go, but eventually they keep working at it and are doing good things and keep applying. We're going to try to get those guys on staff sooner than later.
Now, speaking of coaching, Dylan, who was pretty much kind of in your corner throughout, you know, going from training camp into Fargo?
I didn't actually go to training camp. I was out here in Missouri all pretty much the whole time. But for the most part, it was like Andrew and Strickland. those are mainly most of the two guys in my corner most of the time.
Now, it seemed like you had talked a little bit about conditioning and getting your head right and whatnot, you know, being out there in Missouri and just those few weeks being on a college campus. And I'm going to draw back to your semifinal against Owen Webster of Minnesota. And I'm sitting there and you get down early. Obviously, this is a state, Minnesota, I live here now, that has great coaching. You could be, you know, this guy was fifth in the state, but he's right there as amongst one of the tops in the country every year in the international styles. And it seemed like he could never hit you with the same trick twice. You know, he tried that hip in, he got you the first time. He tried it again the second time. You just powered through. And basically, as I'm watching this match unfold, I'm looking at the guys next to me on the media table going, this kid just doesn't quit. I mean, that was a fight. That was a brawl. I mean, you know, maybe a year ago, do you think that match might turn out differently? And you know, what have you done from last year to now to instead of getting in those positions and maybe, you know, being a little weak in the last minute because you've just spent everything? I mean, where did you bring the fight from?
You know, I think training out here is definitely preparing me definitely a lot. You know, wrestling with guys every day that are just as good, if not better than me, and we're wrestling live goes, and every single go, you have to go 100% or else this guy's going to take you down and make you look stupid. And, you know, it's just the competitiveness in our room, just you don't have a choice but to get better. It's either get better or get left behind. So, you know, I definitely think that's been helping. And we practice, I mean, we don't have the longest of practice, but we go hard, so the conditioning is just there. And just wrestling against all these good guys is just training me. And I've definitely been working on my offense a lot. You know, I wasn't very good at shooting and stuff. I was more of a defensive wrestler in high school, so I've been trying to change that. So, you know, being able to fire off more shots in my matches and just being able to go for that long at that high of a pace it helped me out tremendously.
You had your way to make it into the finals, and you get down against Nick Renan, one of the best wrestlers in the country from Texas, and, you know, you get down 8-1, and then from there on out, that was your match. I mean, you basically bullied the rest of the way. You know, I even tweeted, I said, Renan might be a little bit better right now, but you brought the fight the entire time. And, again, even in defeat, it was one of those things where people around me go, man, that Virginia kid's a fighter, man. So, I mean, I know you made the state look good, even though, you know, you ultimately didn't get your hand raised. But, you know, when you go into a match against a kid like Nick Renan, who's got a ton of credentials, people know who he is. He's, you know, people are dangling those golden tickets from who's number one and things like that in your face. I mean, what do you think when you go into a match against a kid like that who's pretty much listed as like an all-world type of guy?
You know, I kind of like being the underdog in situations. People don't expect much out of you. They kind of, you know, actually, he told TJ Allen the day before, after walking out of the semifinals, TJ had already known I was in the finals, but just kind of like said it just to ask him. He was like, oh, how'd you do, Nick? And he's like, oh, I've teched my way through the tournament. I have Dylan tomorrow, and I plan on teching him pretty quick. So, you know, hearing that a little bit before the match kind of was just like in the back of my head the whole match. And, you know, I got down pretty quick, 8-1, and then just coming back, you know, I just kind of laid it all out on the line. I realized at that point that I didn't have much room to wait, or much time to waste, down 8-1. So just started fighting and come back.
And when you look at the world of freestyle versus folk style, I mean, how much has freestyle wrestling in Fargo these last couple summers really helped you develop into a state champion and develop into one of the top wrestlers in the country?
I'd say not only just freestyle, but going out there, usually I wrestle both styles, Greco and freestyle. And definitely, I mean, just wrestling both those styles just give you another exposure to a different style of wrestling and it's different tactics. So it's more of like a thinking game. You have to have a game plan. You have to know the scoring, whether you're up with criterias and whatnot. So it's more like you start to understand the sport more. It gets you thinking more about situations of how you can go from one thing to transition into another, which kind of translates right over to folk style. Because chain wrestling, you know, you get a takedown, you want to get right on top and go to another move. As soon as you get a takedown in freestyle, you want to go right to a leg lace or a gut or something and transition right into that. And just, it's all continuous wrestling. It's like folk style, a lot of kids, that's where they lack. They go from one thing and they don't transition right into another. They stop and hesitate. So just losing momentum. I think freestyle and Greco both teach you how to chain wrestle more.
Now, what about the decision? Obviously, you said you hadn't had that chance to win that. That's why you came back. But when you look at it now that you've had a couple days to reflect on it and you go, all right, what do you say to the graduated senior who's college bound that may have never placed in this thing, or he or her may have placed in this thing? Where is your sales pitch to be like, hey, this is your last shot. Give it a go.
You know, it's just one of those things. Go out there and wrestle. Why not? It's just another chance to compete. I've looked at it as I'm not going to get to compete another time till November. Why not go out and wrestle against some of the best kids and take that chance of getting one more last competition in before I can't compete for 3 months and have to just wait and train?
You know, a lot of talk this year about the public schools going to the – well, actually the last 2 years about going to the six-class system, and then again the aberration that was the abbreviated state tournament. And do you feel like your performance in Fargo might have helped give the state of Virginia a little bit more respect nationally?
But I think the going out to Fargo and going to all these big national tournaments now with them changing the system to the six classes – just helps guys get more recruited, because how can a college coach look at Virginia as a state tournament and go, oh, I want to recruit this kid because he's a state champ. And then they look and go, oh, wait, never mind. There's six state tournaments or six state champs. So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from anyone who wins a state title or not giving credit saying it didn't take hard work to get there. It just, with six divisions, how can a college coach look at that and take that as a high accolade now versus going out and winning a tournament like, or even placing an All-American at a tournament like Flo Nationals or NHSCA, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior nationals, or just bigger no-name tournaments like during the season, BCEs, Ironman. You know, placing at the bigger national tournaments is what's going to put you on the map. I think Fargo did a big part of that, you know, I mean. Yeah, I was a runner-up at state 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year when it was the three division. But I think even at that, Fargo and bigger tournaments is what puts you on the map with college coaches and gets you the exposure out there.
Andrew, these are kind of the things that we've been kind of preaching to the kids. And, you know, from a coaching and an administrative standpoint, to hear an athlete like Dylan say this, it's obviously got to make you think that you guys have been doing the right things in Virginia.
Without a doubt, you know, especially for a kid like Dylan, who has he's been to Fargo a lot of different years, but he doesn't wrestle for Colonial Forge or Christiansburg or Roy Hill at Hayfield, you know, the programs that send a bunch of guys to Fargo every year. You know, he's made it happen on his own, finding training opportunities, and he's going to compete in a lot of different events, and everybody knows about the big year he had. You know, last spring, Flo Nationals and you know, NHSCAs and stuff, and you know, that's just what we're trying to do in Virginia is build some awareness, increase the awareness as to what the Olympic styles do, because you know, there are a lot of similarities, as he touched on, the transition wrestling from a takedown into a turn. You know, that's the same as folk style. The details are just a little different, but. The Olympic styles allow athletes to, you know, get different feels and get into different positions, and that's only going to make their folk style better. And if we can continue to get folks, you know, coaches, and athletes excited about the Olympic styles, we're going to see those results statewide, not just out in Fargo.
All right, Dylan, I just want to jump this back to you. When you're out there wrestling, and then you look at the entire state that's still there, is like. They got, you know, they go, Wiz man. And then, you know, you get the name across the chest and, you know, college football style fan base. I mean, obviously you got to be focused for your match, but did you look over for somebody like, man, that's pretty cool?
I actually looked up in between the match when I was down, right in between the periods, and I looked up and I kind of just giggled myself and thought in the back of my head, I was like, damn, that is pretty cool. I know Killian and some of those guys are just going wild up there, just screaming their heads off.
You know, and as Dylan mentioned, you know, he's got to get back to class there at Missouri, which is weird because, you know, classes usually start about a month from now. He's already out there doing the thing for wrestling for Coach Brian Smith at Missouri. But he brought up the name, Killian Cardinale. And I remember early in the tournament, the juniors, Andrew, you came up and told me about him beating Tanner Rowweeder. And I was sitting there and said, oh, well, that's a pretty good win. And I went and looked at the bracket. And then he goes through and I'm like, who is this? I remember having to ask, like, who is this kid? I know he's a state champion, but it took me a second to go through and figure out. I was like, wait, his high school didn't even exist when I left in Virginia. And then he goes through and he beats a guy like Randon Miranda on the backside to place. I mean, this kid battled all tournament long. I came away super impressed by that guy.
Killian Cardinale wrestles with a chip on his shoulder all the time. He thinks that everybody in the gym is wondering, who is this kid? And he wrestles with the mentality that he's going to make sure everybody knows his name in those 6 or 7 minutes that he's on the match. I think he has, you know, 3 lungs. I mean, that kid never gets tired. And he'll always find himself in a little bit of a hole because he's a brawler. But he just goes. He's one of my favorites, and that's a kid that came to Cadet Duels last year but had a family obligation that didn't allow him to go to Fargo last year, and he's just been getting better and better and trains with Johnny Curtis up there in the Manassas area. And he's got really solid technique to match a mentality and an engine that that are going to translate really well to the Division I level.
Bill, your thoughts?
Oh, Killian, he had an awesome tournament. And as Andrew mentioned, he just doesn't stop. He's not the type of guy you ever want to feel safe with a lead, because he's going to keep on coming after you. And he's got a lot of good skills. Definitely, if I'm a Division I coach, I'm going to be looking at Killian Cardinale in the future. You know, he'll only be a junior next year, but he's somebody that you need to keep your eyes on, because he made a name for himself last week out in Fargo, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and it was interesting because he was he finished 8th at 113. Joey Prada finished 4th and has had that huge win over Danny Vega. He hung on the win there late, but, I mean, he was up 11-2 at one point going into the break. Drew Matten, a guy he ran into in the semifinals, is actually kind of one of the guys I thought was going to win it. No disrespect to Joey, but I'm just looking at it from a non-Virginia angle. Ultimately came back, finished 4th. And, of course, we mentioned Mason Manville coming back to Virginia and finishing 7th in junior freestyle. So, overall, you look at the results from Virginia, yeah, you've only got those place winners, but there was a handful of kids that really went out there and they're not going 1-2 and 2-Q. They're out there competing. And, what are your overall thoughts, Andrew, on the junior freestyle finish?
This was a huge jump from last year. We jumped 9 spots. We were around 23rd last year, and we finished tied for 14th. And that's by no means where we want to be long-term, but we're happy with the progress and getting 4 guys on the podium with guys like Josh Weiland and Zach Beckner, who was wrestling with a broken hand, and TK McGonigal, he got a concussion. He couldn't continue, but he knocked off 2 nationally ranked guys at 138. We came prepared. TJ Allen, Antonio Agee, cadet freestyle All-Americans, Jeffrey Allen, another cadet freestyle All-American that they fell a little shy of their goals of repeating as junior freestyle All-Americans, but we're making progress, and we're already making notes on what we can do to get these guys trained up for next year. But really got to give credit to Coach Swink, who has always been an advocate of bringing a slightly smaller group to Fargo, but one that is ready, and that allows the coaches and the athletes to focus on themselves and the competition rather than having a bunch of guys that honestly aren't ready for that level, because there's nothing like junior freestyle, and Bill's been pushing that for a while. So got to give Bill credit for convincing everybody else that we needed to trim it back to the top 2 at our Virginia freestyle state tournament as qualifiers. And then there's a wild card process, but that also encourages guys to go to regionals, and we had a decent showing at Northeast regionals, and our guys are just getting out of state a little more and feeling some other guys in freestyle and Greco events. So Coach Twain, can you share your thoughts on our performance and what you thought about this smaller group in junior freestyle?
Yeah, I mean, I've been an advocate of that for a long time. I think you have better focus with a smaller group than a larger group, and I think the process is good right now with the fewer automatic qualifiers and then going with a wild card procedure where the kids can petition and the coaching staff can select the kids that we feel are ready to compete and at that level and get out there and do that. I think we're going in the right direction. I hope it continues. I know I've been looking through Jason Bryant's All-American Almanac, and 2012 we had 8 All-Americans. 2013 we had 7. Last year in 14 we had 10, and this year we had 18 All-Americans. So, we've changed the way we do training camp too, and I think that's helping get us compared or prepared to compete out there so we can compare ourselves with these best kids in the nation and show that Virginia has some talent out there as well. It was awesome all around. The girls' movement with Sarah Bohora and Chris Michael is going strong. They had a cadet national champion, Jesse Kirby, and we had 4 cadet All-Americans there, Jasmine Weaver, Bree Santos, and Mackenzie Walker. We had 5 junior women All-American, Becca Forsythe, Lexi Knowles, and then Jasmine Weaver, Mackenzie Walker, and Jesse Kirby doubled up and were junior All-Americans as well as cadets. We talked about freestyle, the junior freestyle guys. We also had Kurt McHenry, All-American and cadet freestyle. And then we had 4 All-Americans in Greco, junior Greco. Mason Manville was runner-up, and Alex Miller had a heck of a tournament and finished 4th. He's from River Bend. A lot of people haven't probably heard of Alex, but his stock sure went up, finishing 4th in Greco. And then we had 2 guys move up from cadets, placing juniors, TJ Allen and Jeffrey Allen, well, Americans in Greco as well. So I think we're on the right path. Our next big move, I think, is to get more of our top talent competing in the Olympic styles, getting more high school coaches buying into the Olympic styles, and then also taking it down to that youth level, you know, getting more schoolboy and novice guys out here in the spring doing a little freestyle Greco-Roman.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the, you know, I'm focusing in on the cadet freestyle because, you know, obviously very few wrestlers will come out here and wrestle juniors for the first time and have, you know, have that success of placing, because if you looked at some of these weight classes, junior freestyle especially, there were 3 weights with over 100 wrestlers. And you see something like that, you're not just like, you've never seen anything like that, except maybe the one-off chance you're in that monster weight at like a Super 32, which is, you know, a folk style tournament. But I'm looking at the cadet freestyle. It looks like 11 out of 15 wrestlers won matches. Just the 1 All-American with Kurt, who got ran into a buzzsaw named Malik Heinzelman from Colorado. That kid eventually won the he doubled up in both styles, and then unfortunately got injured and couldn't come back through, but ultimately finished 6th. And, you know, I'm looking at that, and I'm going through these names. I'm saying, okay, this kid's winning matches, this kid's winning matches, this kid's winning matches. This getting out there as a cadet, so important to lead to success, when then the you know, the college coaches are out there, they're not looking at the guys that have graduated. They're looking at the sophomores that are turning juniors, that are junior age, the juniors that are turning seniors that might not be on the radar. I mean, there are tons of coaches that love Greco, but, you know, when that freestyle whistle blows, you're starting to see, you know, you're starting to see your John Smiths out there. You're starting to see everything all the way down Ned Shuck at Whitewater, Division III school. I mean, you're seeing coaches from all walks of college wrestling start to focus in, and they're not looking at the senior that's, you know, the senior unsigned is probably an anomaly now in Fargo. They're looking for the sophomores that are going to be rising juniors that they can call as soon as that period opens up, and those juniors that are, you know, kind of under the radar, Bill. I mean, the amount of college coaches that show up every year in Fargo, that's not dissipating at all.
Oh, no. From a recruiting standpoint, you know, Dylan mentioned a little bit, you know, Fargo is the mecca of recruiting, and Andrew mentioned about Friday. Not only Friday is that a big day for junior freestyle, it's also the medal rounds for cadet freestyle. And like you said, those guys want to be there and see those cadets who are these rising stars and who are we going to recruit in the future. You don't even have to win in Fargo or be an All-American to get recruited. guys in a round of 12 or guys that are winning, you know, four matches and five matches who aren't placing. They're getting a lot of looks after that tournament, you know. It's not often where we see that many great kids in a bracket. You know, NHSCA and Flo, Super 32, we get some really tough brackets there, but there's still a little less than what we see out there in Fargo. So it's huge for kids to realize that. And we talked about six classifications. You know, I have college coaches all the time saying we're having trouble recruiting state champs in Virginia with six. We're not sure what the quality is. So, you know, competing against the other kids at our Freestyle Greco State Tournament, one is a way to sort that out. And then two, getting out on the national scene, whether it's a junior or cadet duels or schoolboy duels, and then Fargo and kids nationals. It's going to be help you. If you want to wrestle in college, you want to get looked at, you almost have to do it today.
Yeah, and Bill, this also goes into another thing. I'm kind of curious about the pulse because the numbers were up across all six styles. Every style was higher than the year before. And I think some of it has to do with going back to the rules from the rule change that's made freestyle and Greco a lot more exciting. It's no more this, as I call it, the binary code of wrestling with the matches that were 0-1, 1-0, 1-0. And it was, you know, things were decided by a ball draw and things of that nature or a coin flip. Because they didn't have enough of those blue and red balls to go around for 23 matches. But you had a chance to sit in on a lot of these state chairman's meetings that after, you know, 12 hours in the dome, you've got another two-hour meeting afterwards. So I can only imagine how little sleep you got. But what's the pulse nationally for maybe the state chairs where they're seeing a push in kids coming back out? I mean, my first gut reaction is the rules are better. That means the coaches that know freestyle are now and that see the benefits of freestyle are saying, you know what, I'm not going to hold my kids from going back to this anymore. These are rules I can teach. These are things I can coach with. I mean, my first reaction is it's the rules. What are some other things that are around the campfire with respective state associations that are, you think, leading to this? I don't know if resurgence is quite the word just yet, but, you know, the increase in numbers across all six tournaments.
Well, I think it is a little bit of a resurgence with the Olympic styles. You know, there's been huge push with USA Wrestling. You know, we got the World Championships coming up in Vegas in September, the Olympics next year. It's been more visible, especially to the wrestlers, younger wrestlers, you know, guys like Jordan Burroughs and David Taylor and Kyle Dake. You know, we see a lot more promotion of our wrestlers. I think that helps. I think the rules, Jason, I think you hit it on the head. And the matches are exciting, whether it's Greco or freestyle. You probably remember better than I do, but the match that had 52 points scored in it out there last week. I mean, it just – some of these matches are amazing. Heck, Wisman's semifinal match, you know, those two guys just scrapping and scoring, and it's awesome. And like you said, coaches are understanding it a little better. You don't necessarily have to be a freestyle expert to understand the rules. You kind of had to be that way the last few years before the changes, and then we are changing them so often that that was frustrating. And we're trying to, we're doing a much better job of not changing the rules as much and making small modifications that are making it better. You know, with the 2-point turns, everybody's got a 2-point turn now, no matter what style, those types of things. So I think the rules do have had an effect to the positive. In the future, you know, there wasn't a lot of big ticket items, so to speak, in the meetings. Talked a lot about, you know, refining some processes and things like that, like the separation criteria. Much better this year. Need to make a little bit of improvement on that. So that was talked about. That was one of the big things. Kind of uneventful meetings this year, actually. So I think things are going in a positive direction all the way around.
Yeah, Andrew, and obviously you've spent time in a couple different states with this tournament, and I, you know, obviously you're talking to your folks down in Texas. I mean, what was the feeling there? I mean, did any of these topics come up just in conversation with guys from your old Dallas Dynamite about, hey, man, this seems like it's growing again?
Sure. Well, Texas brought 77 kids, and I was out early helping helping Chris Michael and Catherine Fulpowell and get the girls up and running. And Joey Prada came out to watch his sister, but Lauren was injured and she couldn't come at the last minute. So I took Joey over to work out with Jack Mueller, who's headed to Virginia after senior year. And I was talking with Kendall Cross and Melvin Lofton and Kevin Wainscott and some of their guys just about their group. And I said, wow, there are a lot of kids. How many kids do you have? They told me 77 kids. And then I asked him off the record, I said, how many of these guys shouldn't be here? And Kendall laughed and said about 60 of them. And they brought a big group, but and they performed better than us, so I don't want to take anything away from Texas. But they brought a lot of bodies that did not have the experience just yet to compete. But for a state like Texas, that's a good sign because those kids need to take advantage of the opportunity to get out of state and compete. And comparing a kid's training and competition situation in Texas to one in Virginia is apples and oranges, just because we're very lucky here in Virginia to be able to, you know, throw some guys in a car or in a van and drive up to Pennsylvania. We have the NHSCA events here in the spring that are obviously big time events. The Super 32 is an easy drive from anywhere in Virginia. So for VAWA, for the state chapter of USA Wrestling Virginia, it makes sense for us to limit our group. But looking at a state like Texas, my first year with Texas, we did not have, we had around 40 or 50, and now they have close to 80. So, having kids like Nick Renan and Jack Mueller and Colton Williams do well in Texas is really helping create some exposure and awareness for the Olympic styles in some of these, you know, states that aren't as fortunate as we are to have a bunch of D1 programs and be so close to wrestling powers like Ohio, Jersey, and PA.
One thing I also want to bring up, too, is we had the World Team Trial Wrestle Off at 70 kilos with Nick Marable and James Green. And the Marable thing, not just because of the controversy surrounding it, but there's a lot of state pride because the kid from Tennessee, the heavyweight that doubled up in cadets, Nicholas Boykin, the only time Tennessee had ever had a champ was Nick Marable back in 2003 in cadets. So there's a state that's, you know, no longer, it's not one guy that carries the flag. Now it's this kid that's got two stop signs. And then you've got the senior level event. You had the phase two trials there last year. You've had wrestle offs there in the past. And personally, I really like, you know, take the scenario with Green and Marable out of the equation and the politics that went on with it. I just think it's cool for these athletes to see here's a senior level. These are the guys that these guys are trying to make the world an Olympic team. Obviously not Olympic weight, but they're trying to make a world team and compete for the United States. And to have that right there on the race stage, right there before the finals. I mean, this is where these guys want to be. And then you've got, you know, Clarissa Chun signing autographs up there. She was an Olympic bronze medalist. And then did you see the line for Jordan freaking Burroughs during that? He was supposed to be there for 2 hours. He from 5 to 7 that one day. I can't remember what night it was. It might have been Thursday or Friday. And then the line, I mean, he didn't stop signing autographs till after 8:15. So we've actually got a guy now that's accessible. He's young. He's giving a lot of wrestlers an opportunity to say, I'm about to meet greatness. So you take that senior level aspect and tie it into Fargo. It's more than just colleges. I mean, these kids had a chance to meet some of the greats in our sport.
It's awesome. You know, it's awesome. Bill and I are heading out to Colorado Springs for the USA Wrestling State Leaders Summit in about a month. And I'm going to really push or just suggest that USA Wrestling continue this trend, even if it's just an exhibition match. Because if you look at the coaching staffs from some of these bigger states, you've got guys that are on the ladder and going to world team training camps, and you know they're in the mix for these national and world teams. And you know, even with 2016 being an Olympic year, I hope that USA Wrestling can convince or set up some simulation or exhibition matches during the finals, because it's huge for kids from outlying states or even kids from bigger states. I mean, Bill always cracks on kids for not being students of the sport, and USA Wrestling in the past 2 years has made it easy for these kids to watch, learn, and observe our best and brightest up on the big stage. So I really hope they continue it, and I'm going to bring it up when we're out in Colorado Springs next month.
Yeah, Bill, on that, I want to say that, I can't remember who it was. That might have been Bobby Douglas was telling a story. And, this might have been 10, 12 years ago. But I remember him, he always tells this story where he goes, how many people know who I am? And maybe two kids raise his hand. And how many people know who he is? And he'll point over and it'll be Cale Sanderson. And, like four kids will raise their hand. Now we're getting to the point where, I remember growing up in my wrestling room. I mean, I remember looking at a poster of the Brands brothers in the Pocosin wrestling room going, who are those guys? And then people are looking at me like, you don't know who Tom and Terry Brands are? I go, no. And, it took me late to understand the college game, and especially then the international game. Having the athletes like Burroughs be so personable, we now have a shoe that's not a wrestling shoe that's endorsed by a wrestler. I mean, so hopefully we'll be able to bring Burroughs to Virginia for a clinic or something, and every single person in that gym, whether they're a first-year guy or Dale Oliver, will know who the heck Jordan Burroughs is.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Jason. I talk about being students of the sport all the time. A lot of reasons. I think USA Wrestling's doing a better job marketing, social media. These kids they find out who they are, see them on social media, follow them on Twitter, like them on Facebook, the whole thing. A lot more video out there with Flow Wrestling and the Big Ten Network. I mean, we got college dual meets on TV all the time now. USA Wrestling events have been on NBC. All that stuff is important. I think television exposure and social media exposure is huge to grow the sport. We need more of it. We've got a lot more than we used to have. And we still need more. The NCAAs, on ESPN, you can watch the whole tournament on ESPN now. I think that's awesome. And our kids are starting to recognize, they know Cal Dick and David Taylor and Jordan Burroughs and Helen Morales and Adeline Gray. I mean, they know who they are. They're being marketed. They're out there where we can see them. We see them compete, and we see them in social media. And I think it's good for the sport, and we have to do more. We need more of it.
Andrew, in the time we got left, what's next for VAWA? What events do we got coming up? Obviously, there's a little bit of a lull before school starts, but that doesn't mean you guys stop working.
Not at all. I spent a good part of the morning just recovering, but thinking about next year. Made some calls about our hotel for next year, but I posted 165 picks on our Facebook page and virginiawrestling.com, and I just want to get some of that media out right now. But we're getting ready for a fall golf tournament. We have our annual fall meeting, and working on providing some training opportunities in the fall to help some of our folk style guys get ready for things like the Super 32, and but the biggest event that we have in the fall will be our fall elementary and middle school national teams qualifier. VAWA will run a folk style event in, I believe, mid November that will serve as a qualifier for Team Virginia, and this will be an elite folk style national team that will compete in only three or four events, and that'll allow those kids to compete with their various clubs at the club level, but then for things like the Holiday Duels, the Wildwood Duels, and a few other events, they'll come together to make a stud squad to go and knock heads with the teams flying in with Jerry Abbas from California and these hammers from Pennsylvania and Ohio that come together for these bigger events. So we're excited about making that a very black and white process and trying to get some of our better kids together, and that'll only help build some camaraderie as they come up the ladder. So we're focused on that, and then also just trying to compare notes and you know, gather feedback from our coaches and athletes on what we did well in Fargo and how we can improve for next year.
Bill, final words, since you're the state chair.
Oh, man. You know, like Andrew said, August, some downtime from actual competition, but a lot of planning going on. You know, I've got we've got the leadership conference in Colorado Springs. We have our fall meeting that we moved to August because it fell on the World Championship dates. And, you know, there's a good group of us planning on going out to World Championships in Vegas in September. And starting in September then, you know, we'll have some local tournaments and, like Andrew mentioned, some training opportunities for our athletes, the qualifier for the elementary school, middle school team. And then, you know, planning. Andrew and I spent a lot of time planning, and getting ready to implement new things for next year, trying to improve. It's a never-ending challenge and task to not stay stagnant and make the state better and make it grow, and that's what we'll be trying to do in August.
And actually, you bring up the World Championships, and we haven't discussed this yet, but for those listening, you'll know that there's a good chance that if you're in person, actually, there's a 100% chance you'll hear a Virginian on the microphone. And if you're watching at home on ESPN3, which I believe is where the stream will be, there's probably a 50% chance of you hearing a Virginian on the microphone. So Brian Hazard is actually going to be part of the broadcasting streaming team with ESPN3, and he's going to be teaming with Shane Sparks from the Big Ten Network. And in-house on the microphone, guys, it's an all-Virginia 1 and 2. It's Ken Berger and myself announcing the World Championship. So a little 2-up, 2-down there out in Vegas coming, too.
I love it. And I do want to say one other thing, Jason, I forgot. I want to say thanks to our officials that were out in Fargo. We had 7 out there, which is one of the larger groups from any state. Tim Pearson, our head of officials, is doing a bang-up job. In fact, he just got elected to the board of the Officials Association. So not only are we trying to improve our wrestling, we're improving our officiating as well, and Ken Berger was part of that crew too. So Virginia guys everywhere. It's great.
Yeah, to Bill's point, we couldn't have done it out in Fargo without some volunteers that were willing to lend an extra hand, which led by Tim Greenleaf, who came out as part women's coach and part logistics coordinator, helping make sure meals were set up after weigh-ins at you know, 7 a.m. and lunches for everybody. And then he was assisted by Bud Gordon and Dr. Stan Smeltzer out of Smithfield. But one final shout out goes out to Joey and Lauren Prada's little sister, Jessica Prada. She is a character, and Jessica is battling a potential bacterial meningitis diagnosis right now. But anybody that knows the Pradas and little Jessica knows that you know, she's a fighter, and she's taking it all in stride. And you know, everybody at VAWA just wants to wish her a speedy and healthy recovery.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to matttalkonline.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.